Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Mem Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 21 lines from the top of Daf Mem Zayin, a little less than halfway down the page. On the side of the Gemara, namely in the margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we have written the following: Ne'emonus av albino, the trustworthiness or the believability of a father regarding information that he tells us about his son. And this has application to the realm of gerus, conversion, bechor, firstborn. Firstborn receives in an inheritance twice the portion of any one other brother, mamzerus, illegitimacy, and ben gerusha, to establish that if he's a Kohen, the son is the product of the father's union with a grusha, which is forbidden to a Kohen. And the son would therefore be considered a cholol, basically a non-Kohen. So does a father have believability in these areas? Tanu Rabbanan. Maybe we should just point out that in general, when it comes to rules of testimony, relatives cannot testify for one another. Here we're not dealing in strict testimonial terms, but in some ways it touches upon that topic of, can we trust the information from the one who is sharing it with us? The Gemara begins with a Tanaic source, Tanu Rabbanan, Ushvatetem Tzedek Bein Ish Uvein Achiv Uvein Geiro. That's a pasuk, and Mikan Omer Rabbi Yehuda Gershin is guy. From here, Rabbi Yehuda concludes. See, in this pasuk, you see the term mishpat or ushvatetem, shvita or mishpat has to do with courts, and the minimum number of judges in a court is 3. So Rabbi Yehuda sees from this pasuk, from the fact that a gero is mentioned, Gershin is Geyer, the based in, Hare, Zeger. If a Ger converts in the presence of a court, a presence of 3, then his conversion takes hold. Beino, Levein, Atzmo, Eino, Ger. If he does so by himself in private, so it does not take hold. Maisa Be'echot, Shebal, Lefnei, Rabbi Yehuda. There was an incident where someone came to Rabbi Yehuda, Ve'omar Lo, Nisgayarti, Beini, Levein, Atzmi. And he announces, you know, I converted in private. Omar Le Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda asks, Yesh lecha edim, do you have witnesses? Omar Le Lav, no, I don't have witnesses. Yesh lecha bonim, do you have children? Omar Le Hein, yes, I have children. Omar Le, Ne'emon ato lifsoil es asmecha, you are accepted regarding yourself, meaning to render yourself unfit, ve'i ato ne'emon lifsoil es banecha, but you are not believed regarding your children. Information in this source will become clearer as we go on in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Umi Omar Rabbi Yehuda Abonim Lo Mehema? Note that this is a long question. Is it really so that Rabbi Yehuda says that a man is not believed regarding his children? V'ha Tanya. We have another source, and the pasuk that's quoted is from Dvarim Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Yud Zayin. On the side, you can see we have written the pasuk, as we said, Dvarim Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ki es habchor ben hasnua yakir lo seis lo pi shnayim b'chol asher imotzei lo. This pasuk has to do with a person when he dies, leaves over his property to be inherited, and he has several wives, children from the different wives. The man's firstborn is to receive a double portion. the source now says Yakir, Yakirenu l'achirim. The father can point out to others who his firstborn is. Mikan Om Rebuda, based on this Rebuda, says Neman Odom Lomar Zevini Bihar. A person is believed, the father is believed to say, this is my firstborn. And with that information, we know eventually he will get a double portion. Ukshem Shineman Lomar Zevini Bihar, and just like a father is believed to say, this is my firstborn, Kach Neman Lomar, he is also believed, Bini Ze Ben Grushahu. Ben Chalutzahu. This boy is the son of a divorcee that I married. So that, or a Ben Chalutza, the son of a woman that had received Chalitza, two kinds of women that are prohibited to the kahuna. The Chachomim Oimrim Eino Ne'eman. The Chachomim disagree, but right now we are focusing on the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. So the question is asked. Before, in the earlier source, we saw Rebbe Yehuda saying, regarding yourself, you're believed. Regarding your son, you're not believed. And here in this source, we see that a father is believed in the revelation of information regarding his son. We have here two approaches. Omar of Nachman bar Yitzchok, Hochi ko Omar le. Thusly, Rabbi Yehuda was saying to the ger that came to him, Lidvorecha oived koichovim ato. According to what you're telling me, namely that you converted without a court, and you don't even have witnesses, so you are still a Gentile, the Ein Edus L'Oved Kechavim. And as far as laws of testimony are concerned, idol worshippers are not a source of testimony. And Rashi says, the Ein Edus L'Oved Kechavim, Hoyu Ubonecho Muchsokim Bekashus, since your sons were known as kosher, you were living in this neighborhood, we've seen your sons developing as regular Jews, so we will assume they were Jewish. They have a cheskas kashrus. You are not believed to say testimony to undo their status. And we can emphasize once again, you're not believed to undo their status because according to you, you are saying that you are not capable of saying testimony. Ravino Omar, Hochi Kormale, Ravino, second approach to explain the Tano Rebbe Yehuda, Yesh Lecha Bonim, do you have sons? Hain, yes. Yesh Lecha B'nei Bonim, do you have grandsons? Hain, yes. Omar Le, so Rebbe Yehuda told the ger, the convert, Ne'emon Ato Lifso Bonecha, V'ato Ne'emon Lifso B'nei Bonecha. You're believed to undo the kashrus of your son, to render your son posel, unfit, non-Jewish, and that is based on yakir. However, you're not believed regarding the next generation. Tanya Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source like Ravina, Rav Yehuda Omer, Ne'eman Ata Loimar Al Benoi Katan, V'ein Ne'eman Al Benoi Godol. This source is a bit obscure. The Omar Rav Chiyo Bar Abba Rav Yochanan. Now he explains the source. Lo Katan Katan Mamish. When we say that a person is believed regarding his son, the small one, the young one, the minor, so the Gemara is saying it doesn't mean an actual minor. V'lo gadol gadol mamish, nor when it says gadol, it doesn't mean an adult child. Ela katan v'yesh lo bonim zehu gadol. If he's young, if he's a non-adult even, but he has sons, that itself is an interesting topic. Can that really exist? But let's go along with the words of the Gemara. The Gemara has a point. It's not so much focusing on the son, but on his sons. If you're talking about a child that in turn has sons, those would be the grandchildren. Zehu Godo. That is what the source was saying when it said Ein Ne'emon Al Beno Godo. So that his father is not believed regarding the grandchildren. Godo V'Elo Bonim. If he has an adult son, but he in turn has no children, Zehu Katan. That would be categorized as the small one, the young one. And regarding him, if it's a son alone, so that regarding him, the father is believed. And that is just like Ravina. And the Gemara surprisingly says that the halacha shall follow Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, which means he's not believed even on his own sons. That, of course, it was different than Ravina's approach, which said a person is believed regarding his own sons, just not regarding the next generation. The Gemara asks, how can the Gemara rule like Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak v'hatanyo kavosei de Ravina? We just had a Tanaic source supporting Ravina, giving Ravina's point of view greater strength. The Rashi adds, he elaborates a bit on this question, a little more than halfway down, the Rashi commentary, v'atanyo k'ravina, d'ne'emon hu al benoi katon, she'ein lo bonim, that a person is believed when his son has no sons of his own. The kasak light of the homas nisin, begir shibor, v'yomar ger ani, Komairi. The thinking at this point in the Gemara, and the reason the Gemara is asking this question, don't we have a source supporting Ravina, is the thinking is that that source, where we said Tanya Nami Hochi, Ravid Omer Namon, etc., that that source was talking about a case of a Ger coming and telling us what we saw above, that I converted in private. The Gemara says, the source is reliable, but it's not talking about our situation. Ahu, the Inyan Yakir Itmar. When we say that a person is believed, al beno, etc., that's referring to the laws of inheritance. And we take a look at Rashi, the Inyan Yakir, Tanyo, Ahi, Masnisin, the Yakir Koi, the Tanaic source that we were citing before as if it's supporting Ravina was a comment on the source that dealt with Yakir, the laws of inheritance. Just like a father is believed to say, this is my firstborn, so too he's believed to say that this son is the child of a divorcee that I had with her, the Allah Kotoni, and regarding that, the Tanaic source continues telling us, the Neman Hu Al Koton, the father is believed regarding a son that has no children, the Ha Yisrael Hu, because we're talking about a person that's a full-fledged Jew, the Yeshlo Edus, and he has the power of testimony, v'atorah eminoso al benoi, v'lo al ben beno, and the Torah gives him believability regarding his son, but not regarding grandson. So that all of the Tanaic information that we were seeing was dealing with, starting with the source Yakir and the second source, Rabbido Mernem Onoda Vechule, etc., that was talking about laws of inheritance or laws of Ben Gerusha, which were dealing with the testimony of a full fledged Jew. Avol Gabi Ger, but with regard to a convert, Afilu Abenoi Loi Mehemon, when he tells us information that would alter the chazoka, the status of his son, he would not be believed. The Ein Edus Li'oyveid Kechavim. There is no testimony or believability granted to idol worshippers. And as a result of this, we can paskin like Rav Nachman, the Gemara's maskon is like Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. That when a person tells us that he converted in private, so he's basically saying that he is a Gentile. But at the same time, we knew his children we were familiar with his children as full-fledged Jews. So we say that you can render yourself unfit, but you can't alter the status of your children. And now we have a Tanaic source. You can see that it's rather long. It continues till a number of lines down Omid Beis, and on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei, say the topic heading Ma Oimrim LaOdom Shebal Lisgayer. What do we tell a person who comes to convert? Someone comes, a Gentile comes to the Jewish authorities and says he wants to convert to Judaism. How do we handle that? And before we begin the Gemara text itself, just a general word that, as we'll see, Judaism is not an evangelical type religion. We, the Jewish people, are not seeking converts. We're not seeking new adherents. If someone is extremely sincere and wants to dedicate himself to the laws and rituals of Judaism, as we will see later in the Gemara, that's okay, that's fine. And a convert is to be respected and treated in the most honorable fashion one can possibly imagine. The Torah is very sensitive to that. However, the point that I want to make right now is that the Jewish people are not canvassing adherents, seeking out new believers. And we might add that Judaism represents the Judaism and its Torah represents the absolute truth. And when you have the truth, you are very comfortable with it, and you're not necessarily seeking out more and more people to go along with you. The truth can stand on its own. The truth speaks for itself. If people want to attach themselves to draw unto the truth, the Torah, the Almighty's signature is emes, as the Chazal say. He is truth, and his Torah is truth, and therefore the Jewish people are a solid entity, not seeking out adherents, not canvassing through crusades or jihads or all kind of other global efforts to seek out new adherents. But on the other hand, one who is a sincere convert because he is attracted to the truth, that type of individual deserves the utmost respect and sensitivity. We continue now in the Gemara text. Tana Rabbanan, Ger Shebol is Gair Bizman Hazeh, a person who comes to convert to Judaism nowadays. And when the Gemara says nowadays, it's referring to the situation which is characteristic in many ways as this recording is being made. Hopefully things will change, that the Jews are condemned, they are pursued in a negative sense, they are the subject of everyone's hate. That's what we mean when we say Bizman Hazeh. So someone who comes to convert to Judaism nowadays, Omrim lo, we say to him, Ma rois shebosol is gair, what is it that you see fit to want to convert? Yato yodea, do you not know, Shisrael bizman hazeh, that the Jewish people nowadays, and now the Gemara goes through a number of adjectives describing the Jewish people's state. Divuyim, dechufim, schufim, umeturafim, v'yisurin boyam aleihem, do you not realize that the Jewish people are downcast, shoved away, they are lowly, they are torn apart, they are the victims, they are the receivers of many troubles. Don't you know all of that? Im Omer, if the candidate comes and says, Yodea ani v'eini kedai, a statement of extreme humility. Yes, he says, I know all of this, and he says, I'm not even fit to be a part of the Jewish people. It's such a great privilege. Who says that I'm even worthy of it? So if someone speaks like that, Mekablin Oisoi Miyad, we will accept him immediately. Now that's a literal translation. We have to see more about this topic as we go on. And for those of you who are first-time Gemara Markings Dafyomi listeners, we mention on a regular basis a disclaimer that when we learn a Daf Gemara, one is not to come to any practical, legal, halachic conclusions. The Gemara is the basis of halacha, but in order to see how halacha is actually carried out, you have to research the books, the sforum, the sources, the rabbis, the authorities that deal with practical halacha. And why am I making that comment right now? Because the Gemara just said, if the person says, I want to join the ranks, and I should only be worthy of it, we accept him immediately. That term immediately needs much more clarification. But as far as we are concerned, that's a sign of someone who is certainly a worthy candidate. Umodian oisei mixas mitzvahs kalas and mixas mitzvahs chamuras. And we inform him of some of the lighter mitzvahs and some of the weightier mitzvahs. The Torah itself is vast. It contains 613 mitzvahs, and each mitzvah, many volumes can be written regarding each one. And here we're dealing with someone who's simply coming and being introduced to Judaism. So how much can you really communicate, give over to him at that point? So we tell him about some of the lighter mitzvahs, some of the heavier mitzvahs. And we describe to him the sin involved in not leaving these different kind of tithes for the poor. There are four tithes mentioned that are left from one's crops. One must leave them for the poor. Leket, shiko, upeo, and maiser oni. And we should point out that this source will be explained, as Rashi says, all of the details of this source will be the subject of the Gemara's discussion later. Umodian oisoi onshon shel mitzvahs, and we inform him of the penalty in not observing the mitzvahs. Omrim lo, we tell him, heveyodea, you should know, sha'av shelo boso lemidozu, until you've come to this measure, in other words, until you've come to Judaism, well, as long as you were a Gentile, achalta chelev, yata onush kares, if you ate chelev. Chelev is a part of the animal that is sometimes translated as the forbidden fats. It's different membranes and fatty portions of the animal that we know, based on tradition, that they must be removed from the flesh. If one eats that as a Jew, he is guilty of the severe penalty of kores. A Gentile is allowed to eat that. Chilalta Shabbos, yata onish schila. If you, as a Gentile, violate Shabbos, you do malachas on Shabbos, so you are not subject to stoning. A Jew is. The achshav, and now becoming a Jew, achalta chelev onush kores. Eating chelev results in the punishment of kores. Chivalta Shabbos onush skila. Violation of Shabbos results in stoning. So, are you sure about this decision? Do you really want to get into such a strict set of laws that carry with it such severe penalties? Ukshem shemodin oisoi onshon shel mitzvahs, kach modin oisoi matan tzchoron. And there is a counterbalance here, that in addition to the, just like we mentioned to him, the severity of violating the mitzvah, so too we inform him of the reward. Omrim lo, we tell him, hevi yodea sho'ilum habo eno osi avolet tzadikim, that the world to come, which is the location, the source of reward that's inestimable, that's eternal, that is designed only for the righteous. The Yisrael b'zmanazeh einam yicholim lekabel. The Jews nowadays cannot receive lo roiv toiva v'lo roiv puranus. Too much good or too much punishment, we aren't able to handle that. The ein marbin alav. The ein medaktik in olav. Rashi on the second line from the top says, "The ein marbin olav dvorim laayem olav shiyifrosh." After we say these things, we don't add to these things. We don't try to push him away entirely, to impose upon him an inordinate amount of fear, and we're not too medaktik in too. Particular with him in details. Kibel, if after hearing all of this he accepts, malin oisoi miyad, he is to be circumcised. Of course, when you're dealing with a male Gentile, circumcised immediately. Nishtayru bo tzisim akpenes hamila, if there are strips of skin on the male organ that are binding. In other words, the binding in the mitzvah, meaning ma'akeves hamila, meaning that if the foreskin is not totally removed, and there are strips that prevent that, without whose removal the mitzvah is not fulfilled. So if remains, nishtayru means there remains tzitzin, strips of skin, hama'akfin es hamila, without whose removal the circumcision is not considered kosher, Chuzrin Umalin Oisoi Shnia. We go back and see to it that those strips of skin are removed from the male organ. Nisrape, when the wound heals, Matbilin Oisoi Miyad. He is then immersed in the mikveh. But it's only after the wound heals. Ushnei Tamidei Chachomim Oimdim Al Gabov. And when he is immersing in the mikveh, two scholars are present there. Umodian Oisoi Mitzvahs Mitzas Mitzvois Kalois Umitzas Mitzvois Hamuros. And at the moment of immersion, again, he's informed of some of the lighter mitzvahs and some of the weightier mitzvahs. Toval the Ola Harei Hu Kisrael L'chol Dvarav. Upon his immersion and arising from the mikveh, he is a Jew regarding all matters, a full-fledged Jew. Isha, with regard to a woman, so of course there's no circumcision to speak of, but there is immersion. And we have the need for the witnesses. And here you have an issue of modesty that is absolutely necessary. So, Noshim Moshivos Oisa B'mayim Ad Savora. Women see to it that the Gentile woman enters the ritual pool, the mikveh, till her neck. And now the men come in, so nothing of her is exposed. Ushnei Tamidei Chachamim Oimdim Lo Mibachutz. And two scholars stand from at the outside. Umodian Oisa Mitzas Mitzvahs Kalus and Mitzas Mitzvahs Hamuros, and they inform her of the lighter mitzvahs and the weightier mitzvahs. Echad Ger V'Echad Eved Meshuchar. The laws that we've said now, as far as these matters are concerned, apply to conversion and apply to a slave who is leaving his enslavement and becoming a free man. Meshuchar is freedom, but free man in the context of an Eved means he becomes a full-fledged Jew. Uvamokon Shenida Toiveles, in the type of ritual pool, the type of mikveh that is fit for a menstruant woman to immerse herself in, which happens to be that pool that contains 40 sa'a. 40 sa'a is a measure of water, a minimum measure of water. That is the same, that type of pool, that type of mikveh, Shom Ger V'Eved Meshuchar Tovlin. There, the Eved and it means the slave, actually the Ger is the convert, and the slave that is leaving his enslavement, they also immerse. And anything that constitutes an interposition, a chatzitza, when immersing, a chatzitza, something stuck to one's skin that one doesn't want to be there. So anything that constitutes a chatzitza in standard tevila immersions that are done for purification is also a problem, presents a problem, and must be removed before the immersion in the case of the immersion of gerus, of conversion, and the Eved Meshuchar, and the Nida. Even though when we speak about the Ger and the Eved Meshuchar, and a woman who is immersing in order to become muteres, permitted again for her husband, so here we're not dealing with matters of immersion for purification purposes, but nevertheless the same standards apply, i.e. the isur of an interposition on one's flesh. Omar Mor. Now we start explaining points that were mentioned in the source. So here's a quote from the source. We have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see where this quote comes from. Ger Shevol is Geir, a convert, a Gentile who comes to convert. Omrim lo maro isa Shevosel is Geir. What is it that you saw fit that motivates you to want to convert? Umodim lo so mitzvahs mitzvahs kalois umitzas mitzvahs hamuros. And we then inform him of some of the lighter mitzvahs and some of the weightier mitzvahs. My time, what is the necessity of all of this? De'iparish nifrosh. If he should decide to depart, to decide not to convert. So let it be like that. That won't bother us. The Omer of Ichelvo, Koshim Geirim Yisrael Kesapachas. Converts are to the Jewish people a difficulty. They present a challenge like a sapachas. Now, the word sapachas has to do with the laws of Tzoras. It's a little hard to translate it, but it has to do with a type of skin discoloration. If you want to imagine some type of skin, as they say, discoloration or deformity or scabbing, it's something that's uncomfortable, we'll say. And the use of the word sapachas is found in the pasuk quoted now in the Gemara, Dechtiv, V'nilve hager aleim v'nispechu al beis Yaakov. Now here the word nispechu means they become attached to the house of Jacob. The ger, the convert, becomes attached to the house of Jacob. Now you might be wondering, what in the world does the Gemara mean when it says that the gerim are difficult for the Jewish people? In order to answer that question, you can look in the commentaries. There are many different opinions as to what is meant by this difficulty. Particularly, the Tosfos presents a number of different commentaries. The Rashi, he presents fewer amount of reasons, a lesser amount of reasons. And we can look in the Rashi immediately. The posuk that said nispechu is a loshem sapachas, and as I said before, the word sapachas is in the context of tzoras, where the posuk talks about the a baheres and it's sapachas. And what's the problem? One possibility is that even after a person converts, he still retains some of his old ways, his old practices, and Jews might learn from him. Or people might come to rely on them regarding matters of that which is forbidden, that which is allowed, and they, and certainly in their initial stages of conversion, are not educated, they're not well informed. There are numerous other reasons for this expression, but we will just leave that for you to research further. But as we said earlier, we are not seeking out converts. Once a person does convert and he's very sincere, of course, as we said before, he's supposed to be treated with the utmost honor and sensitivity. The Brisa, the Tanaic source, highlighted this particular area of halacha. It mentioned already mitzvahs kalas, mitzvahs chaburas, but with regard to this, it became very specific and said, we tell the convert specifically about the sin involving one who does not leave the proper tithes for the poor. My taima, why is this specified? Omer b'chiyo barav, omer b'yochanan, ben noyach ne'rag al pochos mishove pruta. A Gentile is subject to the laws that we call the Noahide laws, the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach. And one of those laws is the prohibition of theft. When a Gentile steals, and we should also point out, as far as the Torah learned law is concerned, a Gentile has only seven mitzvahs, not that many to keep, but if he does violate those mitzvahs, he is subject to the death penalty. This, of course, is given a context in which the Torah law is the dominating authority. The Ben Noach, the Gentile who steals, even if it is a small amount in value. Imagine you have a box of paper clips that costs 49 cents, and there are 200 paper clips in the box. An individual paperclip is going to be worth, according to that example, less than the smallest size coin, which the Gemara refers to as pochos mishove prutas, less. It's worth less than the value of a pruta. If a Gentile steals even that amount, he is liable to the death penalty. Veloy nitan lihishavon, and it's not something that one returns. In other words, if a Jew steals, he's not punished by the death penalty, but the Torah does expect him, in order for him to do penitence, he is to return that which he stole. In the case of a Ben Noach, if he steals, that's it. There's no alternative in order to spare himself through the return of the lost item. So this is the reason that we inform the candidate for conversion that you better be careful with regard to the laws of tithing and leaving for the poor. Now, Rashi elaborates on this quite a bit more, and let us together look at the Rashi. And we can point out ahead of time that Rashi also has two approaches, and we've marked them in the Rashi with Roman numerals and diamonds, number 1 and 2. So we start with the Rashi a bit above this point. You can see a Roman numeral number 1. Umodian oisoi avoin leket shikopea sheloi yoimru, that the convert should not say aniim halolu haloitim pa'as sode gazlonim heim. He shouldn't come to the conclusion that the poor that come to the corner of the field where the payah tithe is left, that they are thieves. And now, as a Gentile, he knew that thievery is punishable by death. The oimeg alem v'horgom v'dineim. And he would then arise and kill them, thinking that this is what the law is, which in fact, if you're dealing with strictly a Gentile environment, someone who comes to your field and steals your crops, of course he is subject to being killed. So the convert has to be informed that if he sees the poor now as a Jew coming to the corner of his field taking stuff, they're not stealing. The Gemara points this out. And the fact that they are warned by the Torah, do not steal, that is in effect their notice that if they do, they are to be killed, executed. Deloi bo'u hasra. The Bnei Noach, the Noahides, the Gentiles, do not require any additional warning before the act is actually done. That standard applies in the realm of the Jews. A Jew was about to commit a capital offense. He won't be subject to a capital penalty, capital punishment, unless he receives a warning immediately before the act. Lefikach ben Noach nerag al pochus mishof epruta. And it's as a result of this, the Ben Noach is killed, is executed in the event that he steals even less than a pruta, that small coin in value. The oivid kachavim kopid al davar muat, a Gentile, an idol worshipper, is characterized as someone who is mindful, who's makpid. He's not forgiving on even a small item. Legabi Yisrael havia mechila, when it comes to Jews. So, a small matter, even though it is an act of theft, nevertheless, the owner is forgiving of it. He's forgiving of the fact that you took that paperclip without getting permission. Rashi continues, "Velo nitan lishavon, eino b'chazora, elonerag." There is no requirement or expectation of returning the stolen item. Rather, the thief is executed. The Gabi Yisrael Ksiv regarding Jews, the Pasuk says, Veheshivis Agzeila Asher Gozal. You shall return the item that you stole. Avol B'nei Noach, Aminim Sanhedrin, Azorosan Zui Misosan. But with regard to B'nei Noach, non-Jews, the Torah says that the fact that they are they are commanded not to steal, that is their notice that if they do, they are to be executed. The Kevin Sha'ovar al Achas Mizayim Mitzvah Neragan, once a non-Jew violates one of the seven mitzvahs that he is commanded, he is liable to execution. Lishna Achrina, another version. Modin Oisoi Avoin Leket Shikul Peah. Hoyil Vehein Makpidim Ala Mamon Kol Kach. Since the non-Jew is viewed as being being unyielding and non-forgiving regarding money matters. Kid Omar, as is said, the Neirag Al Pochos Mishover Puta, Modin Oisoi Avoin Leket V'chulei. Shemo Yachser Bo Minizgayer. By telling this Gentile that, you know, now that you've become Jewish, the corner of your field has to be, you have to forego on the tithes in favor of the poor. And he's going to say to himself, wow, so I don't want to give up on those crops, on those extra sheaves that the poor are now going to be entitled to. That might deter him from converting. And as we indicated before, we're not interested in canvassing new adherents. And if we're successful in deterring him through that, then very good. That is considered an accomplishment. The Loshon Zeh Iker, and Rashi likes this approach. De'i mishum taimo kamo, my Loshon avoin leket shikol pea. Yodiu shesofa shilaktu aniyim b'sadeh. According to the first version that Rashi presented, the Loshon, the language of the Gemara, would have been different. Simply that we inform him that the poor will come. But here, we're informing him of the sin involved in not leaving it, in not leaving the tithe and the punishment that could result. We turn back to the Gemara. You'll notice a star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This enables you to see where this quote is coming from above. V'ein marbin olov, v'ein medaktigin olov. We don't overdo it, the attempt to put fear in his heart, and we are not overly particular with him in details either. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's glance at the side. We have a sub-topic heading, and we've written, Loindim Meirus, we learned from Rus, Eich Lityaches Leger Shebol Isger, how to relate to a convert who's coming to convert. Du siach shenialo Naomi im Rus. We'll see the give and take, the conversation, the two-way conversation between Naomi, the mother-in-law of Rus, from the famous Book of Ruth. We should say ahead of time maybe that Ruth had been married to the son of Naomi, and Ruth was a Moabite woman. She was non-Jewish. Eventually she converts, and the conversion of Ruth serves as the archetype for the laws of conversion. The Gemara, Omar Rebbe Elazar, my craw. What is the pasuk that indicates that which we've said till now? Tichtiv, Vatera ki misametzes hilo lechasita. Naomi saw that Ruth is persistent in continuing with her, with Naomi, back to the land of Israel, back to the Jewish people. Vatechtal ledaber elah, and she stopped trying to dissuade her. So that in the source that we learned, Ein Marvin Olav, we don't overdo the dissuasion. We learn that from this pasuk, where we see that Naomi tried to dissuade her, and the Gemara will reveal what she tried to say. But Vatechdal, we just read, Vatechdal, she stopped the Daber Olav, stopped talking to her, stopped trying to dissuade her. So you reach a certain point at which you say, I've done my duty of trying to dissuade the candidate from conversion, but when we see that he's sincere and dedicated and persistent, then we stop our dissuasion. Omra law, and we have used a long point marking to show that all of these lines are dedicated to the conversation between Naomi and Rusen. We, of course, are going to be citing fragments of Psukim from the book of Ruth, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes Zayin, and eventually we go to Pasuk Yud Zayin. So Naomi said to Ruth, Osir Lon Tchum Shabbos. Jews are restricted in how far they can walk beyond a populated realm on Shabbos. That's called Tchum Shabbos. And upon Naomi was trying to say to Ruth that, you know, as a Gentile, you're not restricted. You can walk wherever you like on Shabbos and on any day. Once you accept Judaism, realize you're going to now have to observe this restriction that we call Tchum. So Ruth says back, Ba'asher te'luthi eilech, where you go, I go. And obviously where you can't go, I can't go. In other words, your walking realm on Shabbos is my walking realm on Shabbos. So Ruth says, Osir lon yichud. You should realize that a married woman and a man cannot be alone in isolation together. The laws of Yichud are laws that are nowadays quite extensive. They include many different combinations of an individual woman with an individual man other than actual husband and wife. But as far as Rashi is concerned and the historical location of Rus, what Naomi was saying, that you should know that a woman who's married to her husband cannot be alone with another man. So Naomi, Rus responds, Bashir Tolini Olin, where you lie, I will lie. In other words, where you recline, where you're in private, however you behave in privacy, I will behave in privacy. In other words, I won't violate the laws of Yichud, the prohibition of being alone with another man. Number three, Mafkedinon Sheish Meas Shloshesre Mitzvahs. We have 613 commandments to observe. That's far more than a Gentile has to observe. So Ruth says back, Ameich, Ami, your nation is my nation. And if we allow ourselves a little homiletics, you can see from this line that nationhood, Jewish nationhood, is defined by the 613 mitzvahs. The Jewish people are a Jewish people only because they accepted the Torah many generations ago at Mount Sinai. And it's the Torah that's the binding force that enables the Jewish people to be considered a nation and continue as a nation. Number four, Osir lon avodas kechavim. We are prohibited in idol worship. So Ruth says back, Velokayach elokai, your God is my God. Naomi says, Arba misas nimsru lebeisdin. In Jewish law, there are four different forms of court execution. There's stoning, there's eish, sreifa, death through fire, we'll say, and there's strangulation, and there's decapitation. Exactly what is she trying to accomplish with this piece of information? That needs really to be researched further. But that having been said, Rus responds, Fasher Tomusi Amus. However you are to die, I accept upon myself that as well. Naomi says, Shnei Kvorim Nimsru LeBeis Din. When the court does execute its sinners, there are two separate graveyards. One graveyard for the serious offenders who are punished by stoning and fire. Srefa. Technically speaking, it's drinking of molten lead, but it's referred to by the term srefa. And a second graveyard for those that have been punished by the lesser severe forms of punishment, namely strangulation and decapitation. So Nomi was informing her of informing Rus of this, that we make a distinction between the different types of people executed. So Rus says back, acknowledges this, Visham Ekover, and there I will be buried. Meaning she's acknowledging the different types of graveyards. Miyad, and immediately Nomi noticed, but Tera ki misamesesi, and this is a throwback to the Pasuk that we cited above, Pasuk Yud Ches. Nomi, after attempting to dissuade Rus with what she said, she saw that Rus was misamesses. She was straining, she was persistent in her desire to absorb, to cling unto the Jewish people, and Nomi stopped her attempts of dissuasion. Kibel Malin Oisoi Miyad. We saw that once the Ger, the candidate for conversion, accepts all of this, we then circumcise him. And the source said we circumcise him immediately. My timer. Why this immediacy? Shuye mitzvah lo mashinon. Delaying a mitzvah, after all is said and done, this is now a mitzvah. We have a mitzvah to accept this kind of convert, and we don't delay it any further. So we don't. And that's what this phrase means. The delay of mitzvahs, we do not delay. Nishtayu bel tzitzin hamakines hamila v'chulei. Here the Gemara relates to the laws of the actual circumcision, the removal of the foreskin. The source had told us that if these strips of skin that are essential for the circumcision remain, you have to circumcise him, you have to remove them, name a second circumcision, so to speak. Kedisnan, as is taught, Elu, Tzitzin, Amakven, Hamila, the following are considered those kind of strips that are binding for the performance of circumcision. Bosar, Hachoifes, Roifa, Torah. The Enoi, Oifel, Betruma. It's flesh that covers the majority of the, we'll say, the end of the male organ. And someone that hasn't had these removed, if he happens to be a Kohen, he cannot eat the truma tithe that's given to the Kohen. So that a Kohen is an orel. An orel is the term for an uncircumcised individual. Someone like that, if he's a Kohen and he's an orel, he does not partake of truma. The Amar of Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Amar Rav, Boser HaChayfa Roiv Goiva Shel HaTorah. And when we speak about the flesh that remains on the organ, and we say the majority, the rove, it still has it on it, don't think that it's a reference to the majority of the circumference, but even if it's the majority of the length, the govam literally is the height of that strip, of the organ, that is. So that if there's a thin strip of flesh, but it's left the covering, the extending, we'll say, to the majority of the height of the top of the organ, that is a problem, and it must be removed. Nisrape, Matbilu Noisei Miyad. The source had told us that when the wound heals, we then immerse him in the mikveh. Nisrape in lo, nisrape lo. Only if the wound is healed do we immerse him, but if it's not healed, we don't immerse him. My taimo, why is that? What's the problem that the mikveh poses to an unhealed wound? Mishum de maya marzu maka. Water irritates a wound, so that the wound first has to heal and then we can subject them to the immersion in the water. The source indicated that there have to be two scholars that are there when the immersion takes place. The Omer of Chiyah, Omer of Yochanan, Ger Tzorch Shlosha, but is it not so that Rabbi Chiyah said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that a convert requires the presence of three? The Gemara says, Ha Omer of Yochanan Latana Tani Shlosha. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan said to the one citing the Tanaic source that he has to correct it and say, three must be present. Tova Viola Hareu Kisrael Lucholtvorov. After immersing and arising from the mikveh, he's considered a Jew regarding all matters. When we say regarding all matters, lamai hilchasa, what do you have in mind? What legal ramifications does this have? Answer, the hodar bay umekadish bas Yisrael, if this convert, he doesn't stick it out. He turns back. Hodar is the hodar bay means turn back. Returns to his old ways, the ways of a non-Jew, and then is mekadesh basrael. Then he marries. He offers money or kiddushin to enter a marriage with a Jewish girl. Yisrael mumar karinavei. We call him a sinning Jew, as opposed to referring to him as a Gentile. If he were a Gentile, so the kiddushin that he offers to the Jewish woman has no significance, it has no legal import. However, if he's a Yisrael, but a sinner, a Jew, that happens to be a sinner, that type of marriage takes hold. Ukiddusha kiddushin. And once that type of marriage takes hold, in order to separate the couple, in order to break them apart, a get would be required, a formal document of divorce. Echad ger ve'echad eved meshukar. Kosal kadaitich lekabel olav oil mitzvahs. When the source says that the laws apply equally to a convert as well as to an enslaved individual achieving freedom, departure from slavery to freedom, the thinking at this point is that this is a reference to Kabbalas oil mitzvahs. That just like a ger has to accept the oil is the yoke of mitzvahs, meaning he has to accept upon himself a commitment to keep the Torah and its contents, its mitzvahs. So too, a slave who is immersing in order to leave his slavehood, his slavery, he must accept oil mitzvahs as well. That's the thinking. Well, if that be the case, we're going to raise a contradiction. And we should point out on the side, we have a nosei topic heading, yishuv. Yishuv means the resolution, stira. Yishuv stira, resolution of a contradiction, b'inyan kabolas mitzvahs b'shas tvilas eved l'shein shikur. We're going to see what appears to be a contradiction in sources regarding the slave who is immersing in order to leave his enslavement to become a Ben Chorin. A Ben Chorin is a full-fledged Jew, a free man, but he is a full-fledged Jew once he immerses. So our Mishnah, the Tanaic source above, of course you can see we had an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see where this was, where it appeared in the original source by scanning up and seeing the corresponding arrow. So according to that source, an Eved Meshuchar has to do Kabbalas mitzvahs, has to accept upon himself all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Maybe we should point out parenthetically, or it should not parenthetically, it might be considered germane, a standard slave is bound to keep mitzvos as well, but not all the mitzvos. Rather, mitzvos as if he were a woman. As a Jewish woman has mitzvos, a woman, though, is exempt from numerous mitzvos. Primarily, those that we say that are categorized as mitzvos are, say, positive commands, shazman groma, that are time-bound. An eved, likewise, is exempt from them. So at the time of immersion, the assumption right now is that, according to the source above, you must make a full commitment to the acceptance of the oil mitzvahs, the yoke of mitzvahs. V'rominu, and we raise now a contradiction. B'amed v'amamurim b'ger. When is there the necessity of accepting mitzvahs? That's when you're dealing with a convert. Avo be'eved v'shukhar ein tzorach l'kabel. But an eved, a slave that's immersing to achieve freedom, he doesn't have to accept at that time the mitzvahs. So we would seem to have a contradiction then in sources. Omar Rav Sheshes lo kasha, there's no contradiction. Ha Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, ha Rabbanan. There simply are two Tanaic schools of thought. One represented by Rav Shimon ben Elazar and the other the Rabbanan. Tisanya. The Braisa opens up with a pasuk that deals with the topic of a Yifas Toar. This is a woman that was captured by the Jewish army, by a soldier, and she's a Gentile woman. So the Torah lays out laws how to deal with that, how to take her, eventually marry her, because he desires her. So the pasuk says, "Uvochses aviyaves ima v'chule." Bamed v'amurim shelo kidlo aleha. The pasuk refers to the Gentile woman captured in battle, and she mourns her mother and father. The Gemara will darshan this further later on, and it's for a yerach yomim, a period of time. We'll say at least a month. And the Brisa says, when is this idea of delay in taking her, where this is this pause from capture till the point he can actually marry her, take her as a wife? This is so when Shelo Kiblo Aleha, where she didn't accept Judaism upon herself. Avo Kiblo Aleha Matbila. But if she does accept upon herself Judaism, then he can immerse her, conversion, umuter ba miyad. And she's then muteris immediately. There's a note on the side of the Gemara, in the standard Gemara texts, there's a note that says it doesn't mean literally immediately, because there's a 3-month waiting period to establish whether she has been pregnant already from another man as a Gentile or not. So that is a topic we've discussed quite extensively in past Shiurim. The Gemara continues, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Afa pi shelo kiblo aleha, even if she didn't accept upon herself the mitzvos, Chayfe umatbila l'shem shifchus, he can do a forced immersion with enslavement in mind. Shifchus is a bondmaid. So he does a tevila with the intention of her becoming a bondmaid. We're talking again about this woman that was taken captive by the Jewish army in a war. V'chozer umatbila l'shem shichur u'meshachror. And then a second immersion can be done, again, against her will, and it's done with the intent of freeing her. And she becomes free and a full-fledged Jewish woman. Umutar bo miyad. And as the Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis, and according to Rav Shimon Elazar, this method would also be effective. Namely, an immediate immersion as a bondmaid, and then a second immersion as with the intent of freeing the bondmaid, and then marrying her. So what do we see according to Shimon Elazar? A slave has no need for Kabbalas mitzvos at the time of Shichur. There was this second stage of immersion. He immerses her, Baal Korcha, even without her consent. She's not accepting the old mitzvos upon her. So just to repeat ourselves, this is an immersion of Shichur Eved, Shivcha, and this is Shivcha and Eved are interchangeable terms, Shichur of the Shivcha, without Kabbalas Mitzvos. So that is Rav Shimon ben Elazar's approach. You can see that the Rabbanon don't suggest this. The fact that the Rabbanon don't suggest this is indicative of their holding that Tevilas Eved, the Shem Shichur, requires the acceptance of oil mitzvahs. And as far as background or basis for these opinions, Omar Rava, my time of the Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, what's the basis of his ruling? Dechtiv, the Pasuk says, Kol Eved Ish Miknas Kesef. The Pasuk, maybe we should just glance at the side, and we have written in Shmois Perikud Beis Pasuk Mem Dalet. This Pasuk is in the context of eating the Korban Pesach. And it says, V'chol Eved Ish Miknas Kesef U'malta Oysoi Oz Yoichal Bo. A person that owns a slave that he purchased must be circumcised, and then one can partake of the Korban Pesach. A person, unless all the members of his household, including his slaves, till they're circumcised, he cannot partake of the Korban Pesach. Now, in this pasuk, there's an extra expression. The pasuk says, "Kol Eved Ish Miknas Kesef." The word "Ish" is an unusual word; it means the Eved of a man. So, are we to assume that Eved Ish velo Eved Isha? Does this apply only to a slave owned by a man, as opposed to a slave owned by a woman? That's not true. There's no distinction made between a man that purchases a slave versus a woman that purchases a slave. Elo, rather, Eved Ish ato mal bal korcho, viato mal ben ish bal korcho. That means a slave, you can mal, you can circumcise against his will, but you can't do that with a ben ish. That means a goy, a Gentile that is coming to convert. That you cannot do against his will. V'rabbonon, the Rabbon disagree with Rav Shimon Elazar. So what do they do? What do they do with this pasuk? Once again, according to Rav Shimon, the extra word ish, Eved Ish, led us to learn this called mi'ut, this limitation. That the idea of Baal Korcha is limited to a slave that is that's immersing, as opposed to a convert that's immersing. The Rabbonon, as far as the Rabbonon, you can see we've squiggle underlined Rabbonon in contrast with the squiggle underlined Rav Shimon Elazar from above. The Rabbonon, they will say, Omar Ula, Kishem She'i Ata Mal Ben Ish Bal Korchoi, just like you don't circumcise a convert against his will in conversion, Kach I Ata Mal Eved Ish Bal Korchoi. So too, you don't circumcise the slave against his will. Ve'ela Hok Siv Kol Eved Ish. But what about the fact that the word Ish is an extra word? What did the Rabbanan do with that? The Gemara answers, Hahu miboyale lichdi Shmuel. They need this information for Shmuel. What is Shmuel's teaching? The Yomar Shmuel hamafkir avdoi yetzei lecherus. A person who declares unowned, someone who's mafkir. Mafkir means to abandon and declare unowned one's slave. The slave goes free. The Ein Tzorach gets shichur, and he doesn't require a document of freedom. Shenemar kol eved ish miknas kesef. That's the pasuk, and that's the pasuk that we were darshaning before, that we were explaining before. And regarding this pasuk, again, the Gemara says eved ish velo eved isha. Does the pasuk refer only to the slaves of men and not the slaves of women? That's not so. So what does the word ish tell me? Elo eved sheyesh lo rishus l'raboi olov Koroi Eved, a slave whose master is above him, who is over him, that is called an Eved. And therefore, to release him, he needs a get shichra. However, v'shein reshus l'rabo olav, if you have a slave that had been declared unowned, that his master abandoned him and declared him free to go, so ein korui eved. That is not referred to by the term eved, and hence the shita. That's what Shmuel is saying, that an eved that one was makir doesn't even require a get shichur. You'll notice that Gemara has a long question marking. Maskif lo Rav Popo. Emor deshamis lulu rabbonon biyafas toar. It could be that the rabbonon who said that there is a need for kabbalas mitzvos, they said this only in the context of the yafas toar, the woman who was captured in battle, the Gentile woman. She delo shaycho b'mitzvah. She had no connection to mitzvahs. So a woman like that, a person that had no connection to mitzvahs as a Gentile, so there has to be, at some point, there has to be the acceptance of mitzvahs. Avol eved d'shayach b'mitzvahs. But when we're dealing with a slave, and we indicated in our shiur earlier that a slave is bound to mitzvahs as a regular Jewish woman is bound. Hachi nami dafilu rabbonan modu. Maybe the rabbonan here too would agree with Rav Shimon ben Elazar that you don't need to have a kabbalah. And this will be a problem, by the way, if you say that all authorities will say you don't need a kabbalah. Then we're back to square one: how to resolve the seeming contradiction between the Tanaic source above and the second source that was quoted five lines from the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beis. So at this point, the Rav Popa is suggesting, even the Rabbanu will agree that an Eved that is becoming Mishukhor, there's no need for acceptance of this. It's the Sanya. Echad Ger, V'echad Lokech Eved Mino Oivik Duchavim, Sorach L'Kabel. Whether you're dealing with a convert or a slave that you're purchasing from idol worshippers, so they have to accept upon themselves mitzvahs in order for their change to be accepted. Someone who buys a slave from a Jew, that slave doesn't need any further kabbalah. When you're setting him free and he's immersing himself for freedom, he doesn't need any further kabbalas mitzvahs. Money, who would say this? Rav Shimon ben Elazar, if you were to think it's that Tana that we saw earlier, he says that even if you bought from an idol worshipper, once you buy a slave, the stages in his immersion do not require Kabbalah's mitzvahs. He is immersed even against his will. Elo lav, so rather this source that emphasizes through which we make the distinction between buying from a Gentile versus buying from a Jew, it must be the Rabbonan. Ushma mino, and we conclude from here, the lokech minoy v'kechavim tzorach l'kabel, ava lokech miso ein tzorach l'kabel. Only when you buy a slave from a Gentile, the slave had no connection to mitzvahs, so he has to be accepting of mitzvahs, that when you immerse him into slavery, there must be kabbalas mitzvahs. But a slave that you bought from another Jew, there's no further need for kabbalas mitzvahs. Well, if that be the case, Velo Kashia, and now note the arrow indicating back to Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Well, then we go back to the question, Velakasha Echod Ger the Echod Eved Mishukhor. What are we going to do with that which we saw in the original source, that no distinction is made between a Ger and an Eved Mishukhor? But right now we are saying there is a distinction, that when it comes to a Ger, a convert, there must be Kabbalas Mitzvahs. When it comes to Eved Mishukhor, there is no need there is no need for Kabbalah's mitzvah. So how can that source equate the two? The Gemara says, Ki Tanya Hahi Le'inyan Tevila Tanya. The only equation between the two is regarding the need for immersion. They both need immersion in a mikveh. But as far as acceptance of mitzvahs, that is not a point of commonality between the ger and the eved. The ger, at the point he converts to Judaism, has to accept the yoke of mitzvahs. The slave, when he is being released from his slavery and being immersed for the purpose of freedom, there is no need for Kabbalah's mitzvahs. So, in terms of the superstructure of the Gemara, when dealing with the problem that was raised back on Mem Zayin Omid Beis, five lines from the bottom where the Gemara said Vorominu, we saw Rav Sheshes represented approach number one to that particular question, and here the Gemara itself is presenting an approach number two to that particular problem. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.